What is up? Welcome to another edition of the NFL Fantasy Football Podcast. It's me, your man, MG, Marcus Grant, alongside the Fantasy Hall of Famer, Michael Fabiano, and the Fantasy Viper, Graham Barfield. And fellas, this was a strange dude, week.
I don't know if I can remember a week where so many big names just stunk. I mean, if you had Zeke, he saved his day with a touchdown and still didn't do that well. Kamara was bad. Deshaun Watson was bad. Nuke Hopkins was bad. OBJ was bad. Calvin Ridley was bad. Julio Jones was bad. And these are just the guys I'm picking off the top of my head. There was plenty of other stinkers this week. It was a strange, strange week.
Yeah, so Mahomes doesn't throw a touchdown. Brady doesn't throw a touchdown. Dak doesn't throw a touchdown.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Amari did nothing.
Just a weird week. I feel like I lived in the upside down this week.
It was
kind of
strange.
Yeah, kind of. I got crushed in a number of leagues, including League One. The fantasy footballers ran over me. I think I have Juju going, but I think I'm down by like 50 or something like that. So
I stay getting crushed in that league.
Yeah, it just was a very strange.
How's the team that I'm doing that I drafted doing?
Well, I think she's going to lose her first one this week. She was undefeated.
And she lost Saquon, right?
She lost Saquon. Okay.
Candace Patton.
Who some of you may know as Iris West from The Flash. But yeah, she was 3-0 until this week. And you know, she sat Carson Wentz and started Kyler Murray, which didn't quite work out.
Yeah.
She lost Saquon Barkley. It's been fun to kind of follow her on Twitter as she sort of gets indoctrinated into fantasy football, and just watching her go through all these same heartaches and just tilting on a regular basis, like, you know, that's a lot of us have done for years.
Mm-hmm.
It's, you know what it is? It's like watching somebody watch Game of Thrones the first time, and like this week was her red wedding. Like, that's what it was. This was her getting to the red wedding and suddenly, like, you know, a lot of WTFs and right. I can't believe this happened.
Mm-hmm. She's probably asking what she got herself into, that she didn't know she was going to have to put this type of mental energy into it.
I don't think she expected to be emotionally hooked the way she has been. So welcome, Candace.
Yeah, I feel like 20 years of doing this, I've sort of had a few years taken off my life. The stress of fantasy football and trying to, you know, figure out which plays are going to actually work out a given week and which ones aren't, and watching weeks like this one go by where I'm thinking, really, Dak? Against the team that had given up the most fantasy points to quarterbacks? Really?
Yeah.
What the hell's going on, man? I mean, it's like Vince Lombardi out there. It was just insane.
Yeah.
And then Daniel Jones, we all loved him. Eddie. He wasn't all that good.
He was just okay.
My boy Evan Engram wasn't all that good.
Hey, guys. Meanwhile, Jameis Winston has a career day.
I know. And that's another thing, too. So the Rams came in. They had given up like 8 points a game to quarterbacks, right? And I mean, it's not like they played trash either. Like, they played Cam Breeze before he got hurt. It's not like, and they played Baker, who, okay, Baker's not that good. But what the hell, man? Yeah, Jameis freaking Winston goes for what, four touchdowns?
Four touchdowns, yeah.
And Jared Goff. And I get it. At the end of the day, the fantasy numbers were good. He was awful yesterday.
Bad.
And I would be seriously concerned if I'm a Rams fan, because regression, he threw the ball 748 times yesterday. I think his arm fell off. And all of his weapons did well. But it was one of those Blake Bortles games where, like, the fantasy numbers did not mirror what actually happened on the field. And ironically, Blake Bortles is his backup now.
Yeah. I mean, this is one of those games where, you know, if we did the thing for, you know, escalators for multiple turnovers, like those three interceptions would have hurt little bit more. So I don't know. But it was
nice to see Gurley get involved in the passing game.
Yeah, I have questions about that. We will get to that,
well,
too.
Yeah.
As we look back on week four, obviously pretty much over minus the Monday night game. You know, looking at kind of three categories of guys, right? Guys like, okay, so maybe they had good weeks. Does this mean we're okay with them now? Guys that last couple of weeks haven't played well. Are we worried about them? Is there a problem? And then it's just a situation of, well, what now? You know, guys who maybe had struggled that played well, but were not sold on, that sort of thing. thing. So we'll kind of go through that. Of course, it's Monday, so we'll also talk about the waiver wire as well. But before we dive into all of that, we'll go behind the glass and talk to our faithful producer, Senior Edward L. Murphy, Esquire. Murph, what's up?
Yeah, to go with the theme of being a weird week, you know, it's very odd when, like, your high-scoring player is Wayne Gallman on your bench, like the Giants backup, who's, like, the butt of all jokes on Giants Twitter.
Not if you have Godwin in almost every week.
Oh, yeah, and Godwin was another thing. So yesterday... Like, I have Godwin in a whole bunch of leagues, so I was able to start him in some, but there was two leagues I couldn't play him because one of them was a dynasty league. Marcus destroyed me this week, but there's nothing on the waiver wire, and I had no one going at 4 o'clock Eastern or in the night games. And then in another league, I had the same thing. I couldn't drop anybody off my roster, and I had no one going at 4 o'clock or later, so I had to sit him. There was two leagues I played him in, which was fine. But I got Godwin yesterday because I was afraid of his game time decision.
That's
status.
On you for losing your faith in God. That's on you.
This is true.
How much God do you guys win. Buy into the? I saw a lot of people on Twitter talking about it because this is week four. A lot of guys, a lot of the big name guys you all mentioned, did not play like a snap at all in the preseason. Yeah. A lot of people are like, "Oh, this is the rust finally coming off. Like now, it's actually real football." Come October. Do you guys buy into that a little bit, or you think that's like the reason why there's some weird performances here and there?
Maybe a little bit, because I mean, like, September has become the preseason now across the NFL because guys don't play anymore, and like. I understand it. I understand why coaches do this. I will say that from a fan standpoint, like, I don't want September to be the preseason. Like, this is when the lights come on. Like, you know, like, we're paying, you know, as fans, you're paying money for this. This is when you show up. Like, I want to see guys be ready to go for this. So
I think the sneakiest big thing here is during the preseason and during training camp, there's just so few live contact practices now, and that's obviously for player safety reasons, but that's why the September has turned into the preseason. It's not necessarily because guys aren't playing their starters in the preseason. That's been happening for 10, you know, 15 years. It's these live contact practices that have really gone down, and I think it's why we've seen some offenses super out of sync to start the season.
Which, I guess my argument to that is, well, you do have preseason games.
Exactly.
Like, get that, you know, get that out. Like, it frustrates me when coaches complain about the lack of contact, you know, they can have in practice, but then they don't use the opportunity of preseason games.
There will have to be some sort of instituted balance, I think, to get this right.
Yeah.
Just wait until the NFL and the NFLPA come to an agreement that there's only going to be 2 preseason games and 18 regular season games. Wait until that happens, because the owners, you know, are pushing for it.
The next CBA is going to be insanely interesting.
Dude, you know what? Yesterday... I don't remember if it was yesterday or the day before, checking my email, and I quickly saw a headline, you know, NFL and come to an agreement. I'm like, wait, what? Already? And it was just the referees. I was like, darn! You know, trust me, man, there's nobody out there who wants a new CBA to be agreed upon before it needs to be agreed upon by than NFL employees.
Right.
We want that to happen.
You lived through the last lockout. I was not here for
that. Dude, yeah, man. I mean, it was not cool,
in
dude.
Fact, fun fact, the day the lockout ended in 2011 was the day Michael Fabiano called me and offered me a job here at this place. So
yeah, man.
There you go.
Montario Harvest. that is and should always be Marcus Grant's favorite player. Why? Because during the interview process, and I interviewed a handful of people, I asked, what would your fantasy analysis be on this scenario? Peyton Hillis turns his ankle in week 3, unavailable for week 4. The only one of the people that I interviewed who said Montario Hardesty should be picked up and started is Mr. Marcus Grant. And that started his...
It's also legitimate because I read like a week's...
His wonderful
the night before the interview.
Career here at the National Football League.
So there you go. So if I ever meet Montario Hardesty, I owe you a beer.
Yeah.
Something. I do. I owe you a beer. Hey, all right. We have jibber-jabbered enough. Let's do some news.
Through the news.
First bit of news actually goes back to last Thursday night. Devontae Adams from the Green Bay Packers suffered a toe injury in that game. I mean, he was having just a bananas sort of game. He had over 150 yards, I think, in the first half
of that game. Nuts,
I mean, he was going crazy.
Yeah.
Ended up having to leave the game with a toe injury. Looks like turf toe. The good news is that it is not considered to be serious. The bad news is he is going to miss at least a week. Beyond that, we're not really sure. So in the short-term fabs, I mean, obviously this is a boost for guys like Marquez Valdes-Scantling yep. and Geronimo Allison. Although, on Thursday night, after Davante Adams went out, Jimmy Graham saw a lot more targets.
Yeah, he didn't catch any of the damn balls.
Details. Like,
no, I get it. Yeah, I mean... You know, Graham, just based on the target share and the tight end position, which is just it's so bad. He's going to be in the mix as a streamer this week. Assuming Adams is out now, I read on Dr. David Chow's website that he kind of thinks this could be a multi-week injury for Adams.
Turf toe can be.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, yeah, turf toe was a big problem for Deion Sanders during his career. So hopefully, and it seems like we have sort of gotten a little bit lucky here that it's not something that's going to keep him out long term. But in the meantime, if I have Davante Adams, and I do in one league, I would expect to be without him. I would look and see if MVS is on the waiver wire. I would see if Geronimo Allison is on the waiver wire. They play the Cowboys coming up this week, and it could end up being a high scoring affair. We'll see what happens, but that's sort of what you're looking at this point.
Right. We need Davante Adams to get right. I mean, they get the Cowboys, Lions, Raiders, Chiefs, Chargers, and Panthers going into their Week 11 bye. Definitely some good matchups coming up for Adams. Yep. Rodgers threw it 53 times in this game.
That's a lot.
Almost double the amount of pass attempts he had coming into the game.
Yeah. Jared Goff says, hold my beer.
And yeah. right.
68 pass attempts.
They called 70 pass plays to
that's
10
insane.
Runs. 10 runs.
That's
yesterday.
Insane.
Yeah. What Gurley had, four carries?
Five. Gurley had five.
Five?
Brown had five, and I think Cooper Kupp had one.
Five. None in the first quarter.
I don't know what's going on with that.
Who knows? Just an AJ Green update. I mean, I feel like we've pretty much broken this down as much as possible. It looks like he could be out a while longer. Certainly not the next 2 weeks. You can't expect him to be back in. Beyond that, who knows? A point was made, and I think it's a valid one, that right now the Bengals are 0-3. We'll see what happens tonight if they get a win or not. But if they start to fall out of contention really quickly, because it looks like that division is going to be a battle, I would say, between the Browns and the Ravens. If they fall out of contention, there is really very little reason to try and rush AJ Green back. So,
yeah,
if you're holding on to him, if you're waiting for him to come back, I think time is getting short right now.
And we're about to go through the bye weeks
pretty
extensively here. I know we didn't have too many this week just with the 49ers and Jets, but those bye weeks are going to start creeping up here.
Cincinnati and Pittsburgh, I mean, you hate to say must-win scenario in week four, but in this game tonight, they need to win. And Dalton and the Bengals have the Cardinals next week. So it's a very winnable game.
Yeah.
So
that's with AJ Green. In Washington, Case Keenum, I guess I'm about things just going wrong for me in every respect in week four. I looked in last minute. I pulled Jacoby Brissett, and I threw Case Keenum in there thinking the matchup was great. He didn't last very long.
No.
He threw for 37 yards and a pick. He got yanked. They brought in Dwayne Haskins.
And he was worse.
Haskins was not great. He threw three interceptions against the New York Football Giants. And apparently, Jay Gruden has decided that the quarterback position is up for grabs, that maybe Colt McCoy could be the starter against the New England Patriots. I mean, look, Graham, the Patriots defense might end up, they might be the fantasy MVP, at least for the first quarter of the season. They might be the fantasy.
Before that, I was talking to Eddie and Marcus about that before you came in. Dude, 37 in week one. They've given you double digits every week. They've got 23 coming off a 23-point performance, and now they get the Redskins.
Are they at home in that game, too?
They're in D.C.
Yeah.
Okay, well, at least they're not at home in that game.
It'd be a massacre.
Look, Jay Gruden, let's leave it at this. Jay Gruden does not deserve all of the blame for everything that's gone on with Washington. But if you're going to play Dwayne Haskins in this game, why not just give him all the starter reps during the season? During practice this past week, I don't know. I digress.
Yeah, I don't really understand what they're doing. I mean, they're 0-4. They look awful. Why not just play Dwayne Haskins, right? Like, just give him starter reps. Let him get acclimated to the offense. See what you have. I mean, even the Dolphins have decided we're going to turn this over to Josh Rosen as long as we possibly can and let this work.
Look, Haskins was a fish out of water yesterday. I mean, he really, really struggled. He looked and played the part of a rookie. But I don't know. If you're going to plan on putting him in the middle of a game, maybe give him some first team reps or give him some practice reps before. I don't know.
Yeah, and boy, I guess Colt McCoy would be the safest play for the Redskins, but this team is going nowhere. Yeah. Like, and, I get it. You want to win games. Jay Gruden's, you know, job could be on the line here. It probably is. So he's trying to win games. But for the long-term outlook of this franchise, it's Dwayne Haskins.
We know who Colt McCoy is at this point.
We do.
We know who he is. And I don't, you know, he's not going to suddenly lead this team and turn them around and lead them to a playoff run. Like, so I don't know. Just play Dwayne Haskins and get it over with. Other quarterback news, Mitch Trubisky injures his left shoulder in the Bears' win over the Minnesota Vikings. The initial reports from Matt Nagy is that the official statement was, it doesn't appear to be season-ending, which to me says he's going to be out a while.
Yeah, dude.
That's what that says to me.
You're going
to
see a lot of Chase Daniel.
So Chase Daniel came in and, you know, looked competent, which I think says as much about Trubisky as it does about the Bears' defense. And so I guess, Fabs, it's I don't know that Chase Daniel makes the pieces around him necessarily better. I don't know that, you know, if things get necessarily better for Allen Robinson and David Montgomery and so on and so forth, but at least they don't get worse, I guess, is what I can take away.
Yeah, because from what we saw, Trubisky had really regressed. And there were reports in the preseason during training camp out of Chicago where beat writers were talking about how Trubisky didn't look like he had gotten better in the offseason. So now you're going in with Daniel. This team, you know, we make jokes about which teams are sort of fantasy wastelands. You know, the Dolphins, for example, you know, you can't play anybody on that roster, basically. But the Chicago Bears, okay, Allen Robinson, I mean, his value takes a little bit of a hit, right? I mean, you're going from Trubisky to Chase Daniel. Maybe it doesn't. But regardless, Allen Robinson has been the only sort of trustworthy fantasy player in Chicago. I mean, David Montgomery every single week is getting more and more burn. And Graham, he's less and less efficient.
Yep.
And then Trey Burton is sort of, you know, he's off the radar at this point. I know Taylor Gabriel had that one big game against the Redskins, but, you know, that was
when they didn't even play this week.
That was something that was never going to happen again. So outside of the Bears defense and maybe A.B. Nero, the Bears are kind of not all that attractive from a fantasy perspective.
Real quick, too, almost as if Ian Rappaport is listening to us record this podcast, he puts out a tweet. Bears quarterback Mitch Trubisky is having tests on his left non-throwing shoulder as we speak, and it's doubtful that he plays this week in London against the Raiders. The team will learn today if he's able to come back after the bye and what his timetable is.
Mm-hmm. Look, you can't teach accuracy, and Mitch Trubisky has been an inaccurate quarterback in the NFL for now three straight years. And we've seen kind of small sample success, I want to say, from Chase Daniel. I mean, he's definitely not a proficient passer, but he played in that Thanksgiving game against the Lions and moved the offense. And then again yesterday, he looked decent enough to move the offense. Trubisky's so up and down and so erratic, I just don't think it's going to be that big of a difference for this team. But like you mentioned, we're really only playing A-Rob and David Montgomery here, and it's not like we're too excited.
David Montgomery has been a disappointment for me.
Montgomery's snap rate has increased in four straight games.
But he's not doing anything.
Yeah.
I like that. I like the way that's going.
Right.
Mike Davis was, I believe he was inactive.
Yeah,
game yesterday.
I don't think he's a factor.
So, but I mean, like, they've got Oakland this week, so that's a good matchup. Mm-hmm. So you're going to be flexing Montgomery regardless. But I feel like I've wanted to see more. You know, and like this is the rookie running back so far this season. Outside of Josh Jacobs going off in week one, I mean, we haven't seen much. And now it looks like Miles Sanders is going to take a backseat to Jordan Howard. Can you believe I just said that in Philadelphia? So these rookie running backs this season, so far, underwhelming.
And again, we thought maybe it'd be the rookie running backs over the rookie receivers, and the rookie receivers have been the group that have really excelled so far. This
correct.
Yep. So I don't know. It's weird. You talk about, he's you know, Montgomery's got the Raiders, should be great. That's what
we'll see.
That's what led me to start Marlon Mack this week, and that didn't work out.
But that was I mean,
yeah, I know.
Show up in that.
Yeah, I mean
they were not scripted.
He got game scripted out.
They were down 14-0 in the blink of an eye.
And then, because like Mac is not going to give you a lot in the passing game. I mean, it was Nyheim Hines, and when the Colts fall behind, that is a recipe for disaster if you've got Marlon Mack.
And then he tweaked his ankle, which, by the way, he says it's not serious. He could have come back into play. They just held him out sort of as a precaution. He should be ready to go next week against the Chiefs. So
yeah,
there you go.
That's a good matchup, too.
There you go. That is pretty much everything you need to know.
that was the news.
All right, so looking back at week four, bunch of guys who, you know, some guys who were down, who had big week four, some guys who are still looking to find some things, and some guys that just have a scratch in their head. So first category. So we good now? Aaron Rodgers, first 3 weeks, hadn't seen much from him. In week four, he puts up 25 points, has sort of one of those Aaron Rodgers games we're used to, had a couple of just ridiculous throws, had some nice drives, even ran a little bit, picked up some yards on the ground. So, Fabs, when it comes to A-Rod, we good now?
As long as you're not under the impression that he's going to end up being the elite fantasy quarterback that we've all come to know and love, because he's not. He had three tough matchups in a row to start the season. His numbers weren't good. I feel like the Eagles game was an easy, hey, you got to get him in your lineup regardless of the last 3 weeks because their defense is so bad against the pass. But this week coming up against Dallas, you know, I mean, the Cowboys defense, you know, they've held together, but they haven't faced anyone on the level of Aaron Rodgers. I mean, and I'll say we because I'm a Cowboys fan, whatever. We haven't played anybody good. The Saints, you know, beat us last night. The Cowboys didn't show up for that game. I don't know what the hell happened. You know, Lattimore put the clamps down on Amari Cooper, which was a surprise to me. Zeke didn't do much of anything. Dak didn't do much of anything. But I think this game in Dallas could end up being a high-scoring affair. So I have Rodgers, and it's ridiculously early, but I have him in my top 10 quarterbacks for week five, just based on the fact that I feel like this could end up being a high scoring game. And I get it. You know, the Packers really, really good against the pass, but that run defense is so bad that when you get Zeke going up against that team, he's going to gash them, open up the play action for Dak. He's got the fourth highest passer rating, I believe, using play action this season. So that could end up just being a really high-scoring affair.
We mentioned it a little bit in the beginning. Aaron Rodgers threw over 50 pass attempts this week. I think that's a big part of the reason he had, you know, the 400-yard game. But you mentioned this Eagles secondary is so, so bad. But we know what the Packers want to do. We know what Matt LaFleur wants to do, and they want to run the ball.
But they haven't been able to do it.
Exactly, I mean, especially against that Eagles front seven.
The Cowboys just shut down Kamara. He didn't do much of anything.
Right. Yeah, I think Rodgers is such a weird weekly play in the sense that we know the ceiling is probably lower than it has been in the past, but you kind of have to stick with it on name brand value and most likely because there's just not that many great streaming options on your wire.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I think that's kind of the bigger thing is that there's just not a lot out there. So, you know. I guess we're not totally good, but we're mostly good. Chris Carson. So all last week, Pete Carroll, who started, I guess, to become more truthful.
Maybe
it's his old age, whatever.
Don't buy it, Marcus.
He said they still had faith in Chris Carson. They gave him a ton of carries. He went over 100 yards. He didn't fumble the football.
That's
good. Graham, we good now?
He should have had a freaking touchdown, too.
Okay,
got called back.
Carson is so good, guys. He's so freaking good. But, he just hasn't been able to hang on to the ball. But I don't think we're good yet because Rashad Penny is going to come back. And he was inactive for this game. Mm-hmm. Kind of a surprise inactive. On Friday, he practiced in full with that hamstring. I was fully expecting Penny to play this week. Maybe he had a setback. We don't know yet. The Seahawks, I think, play on Thursday night this week.
Yes. So yeah, they're playing against the Rams
in Seattle.
Okay, yeah, we might get one more week where Carson is the clear number one and CJ ProSize is the number two again. But, yeah, with Penny coming back, I don't think we're totally good yet, but Carson is good.
Yeah, I mean, again, the problem isn't necessarily with Carson's talent. It's just he just kept putting the ball on the ground, and you just wonder how long the Seahawks are going to stay with
him. Right, and Rashad Penny's good himself. I mean, Seattle definitely will want to rotate the running backs at some point once they get Penny healthy.
Right. The curious case of Todd Gurley.
I know.
So we talked about it. He had five carries in their loss to get the Buccaneers. Some of it was game script because they fell behind 21-0, but that doesn't explain to me how he had zero carries in the first quarter. The good news is he had, 11 targets, caught seven of them, had a couple of touchdowns. So I feel like Sean McVay has forgotten that he can use Todd Gurley in both phases of the offense in the same game. But he had those two touchdowns, and he's part of the passing game again. So, Fabs, we good now?
I don't know, bro. I don't know, man. Like, honestly, I like the fact that he was on the field for 75% of the snaps. Malcolm Brown was only on there for 24. So I like seeing that. I like that he was getting involved in the passing game. But I may be looking to sell high. after this week.
Yeah.
I might be looking to sell high, man.
The two short scores kind of bail you out here. The Rams, their offense is struggling, man.
Like, Jared Goff looks
really
bad.
And it's kind of a twofold thing, right? Like, Gurley is clearly not 100%. They can't use him in the same way that they have in the past. And Jared Goff is not throwing deep. I pulled it up. Per Next Gen Stats, Jared Goff has only attempted a pass of 20 or more yards in the air on 5% of his pass attempts. That's the second lowest rate in the NFL, behind only Teddy Bridgewater at 3%. This Rams pass offense right now is just kind of discombobulated, and I think it's kind of trickling down. And we're also seeing the effects of losing some offensive linemen. I don't know. I don't have any Gurley in season long because I stayed away. But
okay.
I'll be honest, if I did, I would not know what to do. I have to hold on.
I have Gurley in a few leagues. I'm going to give you guys a scenario. My pal Adam Wainwright and I, we love trading. We just love trading. And I'm in a league with a bunch of baseball players. And Waino has offered me Fournette for Gurley.
I would do that. I would take Fournette over Gurley.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I would take Fournette in a heartbeat.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, if you can get out from underneath Gurley with Fournette, by all means, I think
it's.
I
thought that was going to be the scenario, and then it turned into Lamar Jackson and Gurley for Matt Ryan and Leonard Fournette, and then at that point I was like, I don't know, but I think at this point that's where we're at. If you can flip Gurley now after he scored two touchdowns and sell whoever might be interested that things are going to get better, that his usage is growing, which it is, then I think now's the time to try and sort of get that problem off your roster.
Yeah. I mean, I think if you can, especially if you're not in a league full of sharps and stuff, people will see the fantasy points for this week.
So what Marcus is saying, take advantage of people who aren't paying attention.
Yeah, no, I mean, look.
I'd do the same thing, man.
Absolutely. Somebody looks at the fantasy points like, oh, yeah, Gurley has a good game.
All's fair in love and fantasy football.
Here's another fun one on our rundown here. Kerryon Johnson or Todd Gurley moving forward?
Gosh.
Well, let's get to Kerryon Johnson while we're at it, right? Because yardage-wise, he had a really good game.
Yep.
Didn't get in the end zone.
Another guy who should have had a touchdown.
Had a questionable fumble near the goal line that the Chiefs ended up taking back for a touchdown. But, and I saw Adam Levitan post this, and I don't have the tweet right in front of me, but basically since CJ Anderson was released, the snap share and the touches have gone up significantly for Kerryon Johnson in the last couple of weeks. So, I mean, are we good now, guys, with Kerryon?
We have to be.
Yeah, you have
you
to be.
You have to be. You have to be thrilled with this usage. His game should have been so much better yesterday. Had nearly over 150 yards from scrimmage, 28 touches. He came off a 21-touch game in week 3. The big blow-up game is coming, man. Like, they have a bye here in week 5, but then they get the Packers, suspect run defense coming off their bye in week 6. The workload, everything is working in Kerryon's favor right now. And I think if you could find a way to get Kerryon Johnson on your roster as the Lions have this early bye here, I'm going to be trying to trade for some Kerryon in a lot of my leagues.
Yep. And one other thing I want to know, we're doing this, is there a problem, we good now kind of thing. We got a problem in Los Angeles. What is your take on Melvin Gordon? Because I feel like if you didn't sell high on Austin Eckler,
we're going to get there.
It's
Oh,
it's trouble.
We
got to talk about that.
We're definitely going to get to that before we're done today.
Yeah.
Okay. So the last one, Jarvis Landry, huge blow up game. It was one that I didn't expect this kind of a blow up game from him, but I thought he had a chance against that Ravens secondary. They'd struggled against slot receivers. Didn't score a touchdown, but a ton of yards for Jarvis Landry this week. So, Graham, we good now?
No. No. I mean,
correct answer.
Look, I guess maybe David Njoku's injury is going to, I guess, help Landry's target share a little bit over the middle, but yeah, this is still the OBJ show. He just had a terrible game.
That's in week four.
I haven't gone back I haven't had a chance to go back and rewatch the game fully to see kind of how Beckham got shut down so badly. But yeah, I mean, I think Landry was just getting free releases through the slot.
You want to talk about selling high? Do that on Landry right now.
Yeah, maybe this might be your opportunity to try to do that. So, all right, so now a handful of guys, all wide receivers, just coincidentally, that I'm wondering after, you know, some less than great performances, if there is a problem. The first one is DeAndre Hopkins, who had a really nice week one, 111 yards, a pair of touchdowns. Since then, he's given you 40 yards, 67 yards, 41 yards on Sunday, and he threw an interception just for good measure.
God, that still pisses me off.
Afterwards, Bill O'Brien says, yeah, maybe that was a bad play call. No kidding. No kidding, Bill.
Yeah, that was not
good. But, I mean, this is a guy, Fabs, that was a first-round pick in a lot of leagues, and you know, so far he has not come close to giving you first round production. Yep. Is there a problem?
These last three games have been a problem, that's for sure. But here's the good news. Atlanta this
week. They're the Falcons.
And then they got the Chiefs. And then they got the Colts. And then they got the Raiders. So I think things are going to get turned around here quickly. I mean, listen, Deshaun Watson too.
Yeah.
I mean, if he didn't rush for that touchdown, you're looking at a single
digits.
Yep. Okay. Yep. And, you know, I think most of us would agree that if there was one quarterback that we all believed in the preseason could potentially match up with Patrick Mahomes in terms of value, it was Watson. So far, it has not been the case. That has not been what's happened with Deshaun Watson. He has been, and I hate to say it because I love the kid, but he's been unreliable, and his offensive line's not helping him.
Yesterday, the Texans kind of, I mean, they basically, not only did they disappoint, but I mean, their offensive line just watching that game, Deshaun Watson seems frustrated. I mean, the Texans' offensive line has been a problem for now three straight years. Mm-hmm. Laremy Tunsil was a fine addition, but I don't think anyone thinks he's a stud left tackle by
Plus,
any means.
Plus, he's also one person.
Exactly.
He's also can't block them all.
He's one person, and their interior offensive line is just brutally bad. The Texans offense is just discombobulated right now. And Bill O'Brien, I'm sorry, he's not the one who will have the answers to right this ship.
Right.
Yeah. He's just not the one. And there are too many pieces here and too many good players on this offense for this Texans team to the Panthers are an underrated defense right now, I think.
Mm-hmm.
But there's too many pieces and too much talent on this offense for them to just completely lay an egg at home in this spot.
Yeah.
I'm kind of
leaning toward what Fab says, though. The schedule, in theory, lightens up over the next 3 to 4 weeks. So hopefully that turns some things around. But, man, this is not what you were hoping for when you spent the high draft pick on Nuke.
The good news is you mentioned that high draft pick. I mean, Devontae Adams, outside of the one blow-up game against the Eagles, has kind of been shaky.
Mm-hmm.
Juju Smith-Schuster doesn't have Big Ben.
Right.
So Odell Beckham has obviously been up and down.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of the first and second round early receivers that are going in that range have kind of disappointed too. So you're not totally crushed.
Right.
But yeah.
Very, very true. Marquise Brown had two great weeks to start his NFL career. The last two have been less than great. So Graham, is there a problem?
The Falcons aren't a concentrated passing offense. I mean, we saw it yesterday where Austin Hooper was basically the lead receiver. Julio Jones kind of took a back seat. They've just kind of been all over the place in terms of their target share to their receivers. And Mohamed Sanu is a little more involved than I think most of us expected him to be yesterday. Just kind of a weird game for the Falcons. The Falcons offense right now is just sort of broken.
I mean, yeah, it is. You know, Ryan right now is second in passing yards. The only guy in the league who's got more is Patrick Mahomes. But it hasn't translated to fantasy points because, well, this past week he didn't score any touchdowns, which is going to hurt. Still almost scored 16 fantasy points just as a passer. But, yeah, I mean, Ryan, I mean, you want to talk about another quarterback who's been somewhat of a disappointment.
As somebody who's starting Matt Ryan, believe me.
Yeah. I mean, but this is kind of Matt Ryan, right? Matt Ryan is either, boy, man, he's been underrated in fantasy, or, yeah, we all liked Matt Ryan coming into the season, and he's not meeting expectations at this point. But, I mean, you're right. That whole offense, like, Freeman saved his bacon yesterday because he caught a bunch of passes out of the backfield. They're not running the ball effectively. And Calvin Ridley in the last two games, I mean, he's been awful. He has not been what we were hoping he would be. And this is a guy who scored 10 touchdowns last season. A lot of people in the industry were pushing him as a potential wide receiver too. But, I mean, right now, I mean, he's a shaky flex at best.
I will say about the Falcons running game real quick. I mean, they started out of the gates with the Vikings and Eagles front seven, which, I mean, we know how loaded they are. And the Titans have been so underrated on run defense for two straight years now. So maybe there'll be some glimmers of hope for the Falcons run game with the Texans and Cardinals coming up next. But yeah, I mean, the Falcons are just, they're not getting in the red zone as much as I think any of us expected.
Yeah. Although, he may not be the hero we wanted, but he's the hero that we've been given. Austin Hooper is going off.
Yeah, I mean, like I
said, he is going off.
Hooper scooper.
I wasn't sure if we should buy into Austin Hooper at the start of the year. Oh. I was really ambivalent about it, but so far he kind of has been that dude. So I mean, how are we feeling though? But so that's Calvin Ridley. How are we feeling about Hollywood Brown right now after a couple of?
I feel like Marcus. He's kind of coming back down to earth as expected.
He's evening out, basically.
Yeah, I mean, dude, like he was never going to be the receiver that went bananas in week one. And it's still, this offense is still predicated on the run and Mark Ingram and Lamar Jackson. And I get it. They want to throw the football a little bit more. You know, Jackson had a couple of touchdown passes, but I mean, I don't know what the percentage is after yesterday, but going into this week, Jackson was throwing the ball to tight ends on 41% of his pass attempts. So, I mean, like, you know, he likes to go to Andrews, you know, and occasionally some of his other tight ends on the roster, you know, Hayden Hurst, you know, Boyle, whoever it might be. But I think this is what Hollywood Brown's going to be. There's good, and this was a get right. This was a get right game for him.
Potentially, yeah.
I mean, the Browns' two starting corners were out, so it is what it is. And this is sort of what you deal with, especially with a rookie wide receiver. He's going to have big games. He's going to have stinkers.
This is just the Ravens' role for him, right? I mean, he's going to see a bunch of deep targets, and when he does not hit on those deep targets, he's going to have some kind of, you know, he's going to have a lower floor. He still saw 7 targets yesterday. It was second most on the team behind Mark Andrews, but because most of those looks come so deep downfield, he's going to have these weeks where if he doesn't connect on one of those deep balls from Lamar, or Lamar overthrows him on their only play where he gets separation deep, he's going to have some bad weeks.
Yep.
Quick update. Ian Rappaport has just tweeted that Raiders linebacker Vontaze Burfict has been suspended for the rest of the season.
Whoa!
Rest of the season. So
bye.
Interesting that, you know, it was like a big deal. Remember, like, remember in the offseason, everybody was like, man, how will Antonio Brown and Vontaze Burfict survive together on the same team? Well, I guess they won't.
You know what? I was a little bit pissed watching that. And when he came off the field,
he was smiling.
You know, the fans were, he's a piece of work. The NFL doesn't need a guy like that.
He enjoys being a villain.
Right. Well, he's not going to play football anymore.
I don't want to talk about Vontaze Burfict.
Fair enough. Fair enough.
I mean,
that's the end of that. Yeah. So anyway, I just feel like we should throw that in there. Last one in this category, Adam Thielen, who after the game had some, look, I think Adam Thielen was saying that everything that we already sort of know, right? He talked about how even if you have the best running back in the world or in the league, you can't expect to run for 180 yards per game. At some point, you've got to throw the football. You've got to be able to hit on some deep throws down the field. I don't know if that was more pointed toward, you know, his head coach and offensive coordinator, or if it was pointed toward his quarterback. Maybe it was a little bit of everything. But either way, you know, he was voicing certainly his frustration with the way the offense is going, probably with the way that his own season has been going so far, performance wise. I mean, so I guess Fabs, it's easy to say there is a problem, right? Without the Vikings,
absolutely there is. You know, this is a team that they have gone all in on Dalvin Cook and for good reason under Stefanski. I mean, I feel like we talk about Stefanski every single podcast, right? But this is what the Vikings want to be. They want to be a team that plays good defense and runs the football effectively. So they've basically neutered Kirk Cousins. They've neutered Stephon Diggs, who, you know, in the 1 week that the entire industry was down on him and said, dude, you can't play Diggs. Of course, second half, he goes nuts.
Right.
And it was Thielen who didn't get the job done. But now, I mean, you know, I pine for the days of Adam Thielen having 100 yards every single week and going off and Diggs putting up these big numbers. But this is where we're at right now. Like, Kirk Cousins' matchup this week, you got the Giants. Their defense stinks against quarterbacks. Yep. It's terrible. And Cousins is going to be a sit-em for me in my column because you can't trust him. Okay, what are the Vikings? The Vikings are a team that's going to run the football, get out to a big lead, potentially against the Giants, and game script is going to erase anything that Kirk Cousins might do in the stat sheets. This is a guy who hasn't scored 15 points in a game all season long, and he's played the Raiders.
Yeah.
Okay, and the Raiders are bad. So, Cousins right now is probably waiver wire fodder in a lot of leagues. For Thielen and as for Diggs, it sucks because you didn't draft them to do this, but you're playing the matchups with them now. You are. You just are. That's what this offense is right now. Hell, Kyle Rudolph is gone. This was a top 10 tight end last year. It wasn't a good season for tight ends, but he's they don't throw him the ball anymore.
That's
he blocks.
Fine. He's not going to come back till Christmas anyway.
Right, exactly.
That's just the way
right.
it works.
So at this point, guys, I mean, the only must-start in Minnesota is Dalvin Cook, and everybody else is subject to the matchup.
Yeah, the Vikings, obviously, you mentioned they have the Giants matchup coming up. Then they get the Eagles, and their secondary is just so banged up right now. So at least they have two great draws for us to get kind of pulled back in, and then we'll
right.
be disappointed.
Let me give you a little stat, okay? Kirk Cousins right now has 99 pass attempts. The only quarterbacks with fewer, Eli Manning lost his job. Cam Newton hurt. Teddy Bridgewater took over for Breeze. Jimmy Garoppolo has had a bye. Josh Rosen, ugh. Daniel Jones didn't play in the first couple of weeks, just got the job. Ben Roethlisberger out. Kyle Allen, you get my drift.
Yeah.
Their offense is just, they got knocked off their script. When they cannot run the ball,
they are discombobulated.
That's it.
They don't know what to do.
Stefanski doesn't know what to do. I mean, their first four drives were Khalil Mack sack fumble, three and out, three and out, three and out.
Meanwhile, John DeFilippo down there in Jacksonville is doing pretty decent things with Gardner Minshew.
It's almost like you need to throw the ball to win in the league consistently.
I mean, just
who would have thunk?
Just a weird thing. Who knows? All right, so now a handful of situations where it's like, well, now what do we do? The first one, the Titans passing game. Marcus Mariota came out and he looked more like Matt Ryan than Matt Ryan did on Sunday. Three touchdown passes, two of them to A.J. Brown, one to Corey Davis. So those guys, again, Corey Davis, I keep saying it, he's like the Godfather 3. Every time you think you're out, he pulls you back in, right?
Oh, the Godfather 3.
So is
so bad, Graham.
Well, I mean, generally like the Titans passing game.
Yes,
most weeks, right?
Yes.
I mean, so are we really buying in, or is this just because the Falcons' defense has been so bad?
No, I'm fading. They're playing Buffalo this week.
Oh, yeah, there's no way this week.
Yeah, so, I mean, like, Corey Davis, you know, good luck.
Buffalo clamped down on the Patriots something fierce.
Yeah, dude. I mean, that was bad, bro. That was really bad. But, yeah, Buffalo's defense is the real deal, especially against the pass. So have fun with that, you know? I mean,
yeah.
Mariota, I'm not playing any Titans that aren't Derrick Henry and Delanie Walker.
What's the point of Dan Quinn? What does Dan Quinn do in Atlanta? I mean, this defense for so many, now multiple years, has just been so underwhelming. I get that they've lost players. I get that Keanu Neal is out again. I get that. But at some point, man,
They're just like the Falcons in every game this season have been down by two scores after halftime. They have gone into the third quarter.
That's all you need to know.
Down by two scores in every game this season, which, I mean, I guess if you have Matt Ryan and Julio Jones, it's great for some of those garbage time points.
Sure.
It helped Devontae Freeman a little bit yesterday because he caught the football, but the defense is so bad.
Yeah, well, being down that much obviously isn't helping their run game, which is struggling too.
Not at all.
If you're game scripted out and you can't, pound the ball ahead.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. The Chargers backfield gets really interesting because Melvin Gordon, who spent most of the day yesterday wearing a baseball cap standing on the sidelines, he is expected to be back in action in week 5. Austin Eckler has been fantastic, had another really great game on Sunday against the Dolphins. No real surprise there. But this week, they have the Broncos. And Denver, in fact, I wrote about this in my things I learned this week. You go back to last season.
Mm-hmm.
9 straight games in which the Broncos defense has allowed either 80 rushing yards and or a touchdown to running backs. So for as much as we, I think have thought about this Broncos defense as being such a fierce, tough unit that maybe you should be afraid of, you can start running backs against this group. So now it becomes like, do you start one, both, none? I mean, how do we approach this? Because we have no real roadmap right now.
Yeah, I mean, so, it's Monday. But I want to see what Anthony Lynn has to say moving forward. We do know that he has already said that when Melvin Gordon's ready to roll, he is going to be
the number one
back. So I would expect, Melvin Gordon hadn't been, eating cookies while he's been off the field. I mean, he's been working out and getting ready to roll. And, to me, early indications for me, based on the running back rankings that I've already started working on, believe it or not, I got Gordon ahead of Eckler this week. I do. I think it's going to start trending in that direction this week. Maybe it's a 50-50 share, could potentially be. But moving forward, this is going to be Melvin Gordon's job. And the Chargers, I feel like, and maybe I'm wrong here, they are going to run the hell out of Melvin Gordon, who is going to be a unrestricted free agent at the end of the year, and the Chargers have already sort of shown their hand. We're not paying you. We're not going to pay you what you want. So either we're going to see a franchise tag situation or Melvin Gordon's going to be gone, in which case the Chargers are going to run him and run him some more and run him some more.
At least the Chargers didn't make the mistake of playing Melvin Gordon yesterday. Played zero snaps, so at least they didn't
yeah.
make
it. I had a lot of people on Twitter asking me whether or not they should play him, and I'm don't do it. Tremaine Pope is going to see more work.
Yeah, there was no way you could play him.
But moving forward, I mean, he's a two at worst this week, right?
Yeah.
I mean, both of them.
I think this week it may just be closer to a 50-50 split just to let him kind of get up to game speed.
I think if there's an Austin Ekeler owner in your league that's really panicked, I think this might be the time to buy as low as you possibly could on Ekeler.
He's still going to have standalone flex value.
And this season, because Ekeler is such a good pass catcher, it's going to be. I think it's going to be really harder for the Chargers just to immediately take him off the field on passing downs because he is so effective.
If I'm the Chargers, I'm trying to figure out what I can do to get them both on the field at the same
time. And also keep in mind, too.
Rotate them to keep them fresh because they're
fresh. Their wide receivers are all banged up right now.
Yes. Yep.
I mean, Keenan Allen, boy, you want to talk about...
And they don't have Hunter Henry, who might not come back at any point.
We forgot about... You want to talk about a stinker. Keenan Allen, my goodness gracious. If you had him in DFS, oh, dude. That's
right. I mean, he kind of got lost amongst all the other big name players.
Yeah, right. So Mike Williams didn't play. Travis Benjamin didn't play. They had Dontrell Inman out there, who actually was a halfway decent play in some deeper leagues. You mentioned Hunter Henry's out. So, you know, maybe this is a scenario where they're going to be utilizing Ekeler, lining him out wide, giving him some opportunities as a pass catcher. Yep. Last year, he averaged around 10 touches a game. Gordon was averaging right around 18 touches a game. The snap percentage was heavily in favor of Melvin Gordon. But if nothing else, Ekeler has proven that, I mean, this is a guy who needs to be utilized a little bit more. But at the end of the day, I still feel like you're looking maybe not at a true featured role for Melvin Gordon, but Melvin Gordon's going to be closer to a featured back than Austin Ekeler is the rest of the season, and I think that's an obvious scenario.
Yeah. The Chiefs backfield has gotten really interesting.
Oh, my goodness.
Because, you know, Shady McCoy had a pretty decent game on Sunday against the Lions. Damian Williams didn't play again. He missed last week's games, missed the last 2 weeks' games, I should say. And Darrell Williams played more snaps. Didn't have a ton of yards, but caught the football effectively, had a couple of touchdowns, and is making it really hard, I think, for Andy Reid to put him back on the bench, even when Damian Williams comes back. I mean, Graham, what are we doing in this backfield right now?
Hoping and praying that one of these guys takes the job and you've got the right one.
Right.
But, I mean, other than that, yeah, I mean, the Chiefs' backfield has been, it's been the same productive unit that we've had in years past. It's just you cannot trust any of these guys. And it seems like Damian Williams' injury is going to take even longer than we expected. We haven't even really gotten a timeline from him. He's just not practiced, just straight up not practiced.
Yep.
LeSean McCoy has been kind of banged up in and out of the lineup. And now we have Darrell Williams, who's playing well. And Sean Burst. I mean, it's just...
Williams actually led the backfield in snaps yesterday.
It's a total week. This is the second straight week that he's done that. Mm-hmm. It's just a total week-to-week proposition at this point, unfortunately.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, which is so strange because Andy Reid has generally been kind of a one-back guy.
Well, he doesn't have that.
But now
He does not have that that luxury this year.
I wonder if McCoy just can't sustain. I mean, he wants to keep him fresh. He's not putting him in that feature role that he was in Philadelphia Buffalo.
I think Andy Reid knew probably that he couldn't go into the year with just Damian Williams as the top guy. Then obviously Williams got hurt.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And I don't think it was ever in McCoy's – I don't think it was ever in the range of outcomes for McCoy to be the bell cow for them.
And they've got the Colts coming up, another good matchup. So, I mean, McCoy and Williams, as long as Damian is out,
they're both startable assets.
Yeah,
they're both startable.
And Darrell Williams is available in a lot of leagues on NFL.com. I don't know if people just don't like the way that his name is spelled, but you got to like the production, man. I mean, he has been great the last couple of weeks.
All right, so last one here, and I just kind of – I wrote this one in.
I want Graham to take this one.
The Eagles – running backs.
We're both heartbroken.
I just, you know, I have tried to be in on Miles Sanders. Early in draft season, though, I told myself there was still a role for Jordan Howard, and I drafted him very early in draft season. Some of the first ones I did. Didn't start him in a single one this past week. Watched him sitting on my bench, accumulating 30-plus points. But it does now bring up a question, because not only did Howard run the ball effectively, they threw him the football. He caught the ball. And it's not that Miles Sanders had a terrible game, but
it was Howard who kept scoring all the touchdowns. Yep. So I don't even know. I don't know what to do now.
It's the same thing. We just, I mean, we're going to have an injury here for one of these guys to be playable every single
week. Right.
Miles Sanders' snap rate has been cut from 49-43% in weeks 1 and 2, now down to nearly 35% in back-to-back games. You mentioned Jordan Howard's more involved in the passing game, and they're not going to take Sproles off the field in their kind of two-minute situations, third downs. They're not going to take him off the field. Outside of an injury, I don't think we'll have clarity at all in this backfield for the majority of the season, which is unfortunate because Sanders, I think, has been a little bit unlucky. He had a touchdown call back early in the year. He's flashed some big plays and had some nice runs, but this three-headed monster here is just a no-go for fantasy.
The bottom line here, and this is something that I was concerned about, I like Sanders' talent. You know, it's hard not to like his talent when you watch him on tape. I mean, he's damn good. The one thing that I was concerned about coming into the season, and I told you this, guys, on the podcast, Doug Peterson has never had a running back as a head coach average more than 13 touches a game. He goes committee and he goes hot hand. And Jordan Howard had the hot hand last week. Doesn't mean that maybe Miles Sanders won't have the hot hand this week against the Jets, but we can't see that. We can't look into the future. I wish we could and sort of predict that. So now, if you've got Jordan Howard and Miles Sanders on your fantasy football team, I mean, which guy are you starting? It's got to be Jordan Howard now, right? It's got to be.
Which means Miles Sanders. Which means Miles Sanders
right.
game is coming.
Right. I mean, right?
And
Howard looked good. Let's give him credit. He looked pretty good.
Jordan Howard has looked good this entire year.
Yeah,
I think. He's a fine north-south runner. The problem with Jordan Howard is there's like five or six other running backs that are like Jordan Howard in the NFL. What I was completely wrong about with this backfield is how much Darren Sproles is playing.
Yeah.
You know, I figured Sanders at the very least was going to take those passing down snaps and get some of those dump offs. But if that's not happening, it's over for Sanders.
Third downs, third and long. Yep. It's Darren Sproles, man.
Is it just me or is it the uniforms? Jordan Howard looks like he's slimmed down too. Maybe it's just the Eagles uniform.
Well, no, I mean he was wearing black. Black is supposed to be slimming in Chicago, and now he's got. I don't know.
He looks like he's slimmed down, but it could just be the aerodynamic Eagles uniform that he's wearing.
And I feel like too, like the fantasy community like has made sort of Jordan Howard almost a joke in the Miles Sanders is going to take that job. It's not going to be an issue. Jordan Howard can't catch the ball out of the backfield. He's got an awful yards per carry rate. But when you look back at his career going into 2019, I mean, this is one of the guys who's rushed for more yards at running back than almost every back who's not, say, Ezekiel Elliott, for example. I mean, he's right up there in terms of rushing yards ever since he's come into this league, and maybe we just didn't have enough respect for that.
Well, I think it's, not living in a PPR world now that we really look at guys that catch the football. And he was never a guy that caught the football.
That's correct.
Exactly.
Yep.
So it became easy to...
I like that. I think you should write a song. We're living in a PPR world.
It's like I get Madonna. Like,
yeah,
like
exactly. That's what I just...
you know, get her to... Maybe she'll sing it for us.
Yeah, I'm sure. I don't know what she's doing these days. But.
Not talking to us.
Probably not playing fantasy football either.
No.
All right. Before we wrap it up, of course, waiver wire time. Some names. You mentioned Darrell Williams. He's still out there in a shocking number of leagues. I feel like that's going to change this week. Look, A.J. Brown is out there in a lot of leagues. Approach with caution because, as Graham mentioned, they play the Bills next week.
I feel like they're chasing the points there.
Chasing the points there, and the Titans just have never been consistent enough in their passing game to really make it worthwhile. So if you somehow took advantage of the A.J. Brown game, congratulations. I don't know that that's going to happen again.
Have you on the show if you did that.
Right. Ronald Jones, who...
Oh, you love it.
I do.
You here's love
the,
it.
So here's the thing.
He looked so good yesterday.
In the early preseason, I really talked myself into thinking that maybe this was the Ronald Jones year. And, I mean, I will admit that I had my doubts, mostly because I just wasn't sure about the Bucs' ability to run the football. But... And even now, I'm still not 100% sure because he had a lot of the snaps yesterday, and he obviously had the touchdown, and he played really, really well. But the snap share has been fairly even this season with him and Peyton Barber.
It's just been up and down.
He almost doubled up Barber in snaps, though, in that game.
Yeah, it's been up and down.
So,
and I will say in week two, apparently Jones kind of tweaked his ankle, so maybe that was why he only got 4 carries. But regardless, I mean, Ronald Jones has been he's been so much more effective than Peyton Barber, but neither of these guys are getting the ball in the passing game. So,
well, it's Ogunbowale in the passing game.
Yeah, it's
So that may, but you know, maybe he is starting to come around a little bit. And so some of that preseason hype maybe has some life to it. Dawson Knox, who last week after he had a big week a couple weeks ago, I sort of faded him. I wasn't really buying into it. I mean, he's not getting a ton of targets, but he looks really athletic and he's making plays when the ball is thrown in his direction. And look, I think the good news is that he's getting opportunity. The bad news is that I think Tyler Kroft is coming back really soon, and that might limit some of his snap share and some of his opportunities. But I know we're all hurting for tight ends, and you know, if you are looking to stream, I don't know.
If you didn't get on that Disley train.
I guess the other part of that to keep in mind is keep an eye on Josh Allen's status, because he left with a concussion after just a really nasty hit he took. If it is Matt Barkley, I don't know that I would.
Hey, Marcus, you want another tight end that people should be going after on the waiver wire? Tyler Eifert. Why?
Yeah.
Cardinals.
Plus
Cardinals. It's the easiest thing for a fantasy analyst to predict.
Well, then this
Cardinals against the tight end. They stink.
This definitely means CJ Uzomah is catching six balls for 7.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. By the way, I know. I saw a lot of people on Twitter saying, you know, kind of mocking people for taking the Will Disley victory lap. You know what? Take your victory lap.
Yeah, dude.
So much of this job is about us getting stuff wrong. Like, take your victory laps when you get something right, even if it was, you know, low-hanging fruit.
Who cares? At this point, after this week, is anything low-hanging fruit?
Not really.
Hell, we could have told people to sit Keenan Allen, Julio Jones, and a whole bunch of other superstars, and people would have laughed us off of social media. And we would have been right.
Couple of Colts running backs.
Just in case.
Marlon Mack says he should be good to go for next week, but just kind of monitor the situation. Jordan Wilkins, Nyheim Hines are out there in a lot of leagues. Hines definitely more the pass-catching back if it comes to that for the Colts. They play in the Chiefs next week?
Yep.
It could come to that. It could come to that quite a bit.
Yeah, that's true.
So there you go. Jamison Crowder.
Yeah, I put him in here because he is not owned in enough leagues.
He's not, and the Jets are back off the bye.
And they're playing the Eagles, and they're terrible against the pass. And I don't know what's going on with Sam Darnold. I mean, he probably is questionable at best for this week. But just keep in mind, the first week when Darnold and Crowder were together, 17 targets and 14 catches for Crowder?
Yeah.
And so even if Darnold's not back in week 5, he's going to be back soon. And also look and see if Chris Herndon's out there and get ahead of the game and try to pick him up, because he's going to be eligible to come back. This is going to be the fourth game he'll miss, so he'll be back week 6. So a couple of Jets that you maybe stash. Maybe you don't play Crowder this week if Darnold is not back, because, you know, do we trust Luke Falk? But
I suspect people drop Jamison Crowder, one, because of the Darnold situation, and two, when the Jets went on bye, if you were just looking to fill a roster spot, it was easy to just put Jamison Crowder out there.
Yeah. Crowder right now is available, I want to guess, in more than 80%. He's available in about 78% of our leagues.
Yeah, I would also look to maybe even buy low on Robbie Anderson. Guys, this Jets schedule coming up is so, so nice. They've already gotten rid of the Patriots.
But would you play him this week without Falk? Would you play Robbie Anderson this week without Falk? Okay. I'm sorry, without Darnold.
Yeah, without Darnold. Yeah. I don't think you can play any of these guys. But yeah, I mean, their schedule coming up is so nice. They get the Dolphins twice again. They get the Redskins. They play the Giants, Raiders.
Yep.
It's pretty good.
Pretty good.
More wide receiver talk. Both MVS and Geronimo Allison are out there in a lot of leagues. They are certainly worth looking at. We know that Davante Adams will miss at least one game. Not sure about beyond that. But, you know, at least MVS, I think, is worth owning even outside of that. I know he didn't have a huge game on Thursday night against the Eagles, but he was targeted a lot. He had a couple of end zone targets as well. So even if he didn't pull those in, you at least know that Aaron Rodgers is looking in his direction. Geronimo Allison has not had the kind of production I think we would have anticipated, but with no Davante Adams, maybe that changes a little bit. Mm-hmm. And then Jacoby Brissett, who... he's a good streamer option this week going against the Chiefs. Played well. You know, had to kind of play from behind against the Raiders, but ended up getting you 22 fantasy points this week.
Yeah, I mean,
having a good year.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I was not a huge fan of him coming in. I figured he would do better than he was in 2017, obviously. I didn't think he would be a guy who's given you 3 touchdown passes in 2 of his last 3 games and a floor of about 16 points. I mean... So far this season, Brissett's been pretty good. And you got the Chiefs, then a bye, then you got Houston. So, I mean, you got a couple of decent matchups coming up there.
Yeah.
Frank Reich is a very, very good coach, and their offensive line, obviously, is just nuts.
Yeah. So much better. Yeah. So, you know, it's funny. If Maybe if they had protected Andrew Luck this well, he might still be playing.
Well, they tried to get to that, and Luck decided,
Yep. Well,
they did
a little too late.
They got to that for one season.
One season.
Glorious.
And it was great.
Too little too late. Jacoby Brissett right now is a QB9.
Yeah.
So,
yep. He's ahead of Chiefs upcoming.
He's ahead of Matt Ryan. He's ahead of Jameis Winston, Phillip Rivers, Tom Brady,
Aaron Rodgers.
Their O-line keeps balling. He's only taken 6 sacks so far in 4 games.
Yeah. So, there you go.
And he's not running the ball hardly at all, really. But he's doing it all with his arm.
Yeah.
There you go.
Good for him.
So there you go. That's it. We are done. We appreciate you listening and downloading as always. You know the drill. Tell two friends to tell two friends. Rate, review, and remember, having a beard is natural. It's shaving it off that's weird. We'll see you on Wednesday.